Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Losers. One that is posts covering finance and property news. Another Monday evening, another Monday rant with our property insider, Edwin Almeida. Hi, Edwin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, mate. Mr. Martin Martini. How are you doing in the land of the kingships?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really weird. We have had over 3 weeks now of blue skies and no rain and warm temperatures. In fact, the temperatures here have been a little warmer than in Sydney at the moment. I know it's winter in Sydney, but, you know. So it's amazing. So I'd forgotten that you do actually sometimes get good weather in the UK. And I've been taking the dogs out for quite long walks and, you know, quite enjoying it. But I suspect that as summer rolls on, we're going to start getting more of the wet stuff. But anyway, it's rather nice. So I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Oh, it's good. You should start posting some of those photos and tell us the stories on Twitter in photos, Martin. That's what I'm doing now. I'm just presenting photos on Twitter and just letting the our followers tell the story or write the chapters that they want to write up. I mean, it's just amazing what you see out there, and I just thought I'd share images of what happens on the weekends and. Call it telling stories in picture form.
I like it. And I like some of the titles, things like When Emotion Clouds Your Vision, Don't Wear Your Best Shoes to an Open House, and Who Cares About Waterproofing Issues? That's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, it's all of the above, isn't it? It's really, there's so much emotion out there. You really is clouding people's vision. And I mean, when I say vision, I mean, they're just, look, they're looking at each other more than paying close attention to what they're inspecting.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. I mean, it is rather amazing to amazed at how you can fit 50-60 groups of people in a two-bedroom apartment that's no bigger than 58 square meters, including all the furniture. So it's crazy what you go to, and that's why I said put up there on the particular tweet. Yeah, don't wear your best shoes because you lose them. Somebody else will walk off with them. And I do know of stories of other people, walking away with their better shoes and leaving the other ones behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there must be some sort of record, right, for how many visitors you get in as small a property as you can, you know, sort of numbers of visitors per square meter or something, I suspect. It's really crazy. Of course, it's not uniform across all markets. And there does seem to be something really weird going on at the moment, which is continued bifurcation between some markets going gangbusters and some markets not. But where you've got high amounts of interest, I think you're dead right. People are almost looking over their shoulder at everybody else rather than looking at the property itself, right? Who cares if it's got a few defects? You know, fear of missing out is back, isn't it?
Well, in a big way, this is what we said. You and I spoke about what was going to happen if the numbers didn't build up. Towards the end of the end of the summer months. From early this year, and sure enough, as we get into autumn and winter, we end up in the colder months where the numbers naturally retreat. And this time around, there's not we're down to about 6,000 or so homes on market for sale, which is flabbergasting. I mean, it's still not as bad as 2021. But the demand is a lot higher than in 2021, so you're going to get a lot of these issues. But also, what we've got is you've got the apartments have also reduced in numbers dramatically. So there's a lot of this is where we see a lot of these crowds in the open homes outside apartments in sought after areas. Sought after locations in Sydney. Not necessarily your CBDs as such, but you're still in your in St. George areas and in your inner west and your North Shore. So there is a lot of money, and also Martin, you've also got this progression or movement from young people looking at townhouses or homes in these areas where they can't afford anymore. Well, obviously they're going to go into move into and start their property journey in an apartment. And because of the numbers have been dropping so fast in the apartment sector as well, also fueled by the need for rental accommodation. So people that were thinking of selling no longer selling, and therefore keeping it, because as we keep on speaking about these particular areas that Sydney's transit ways to the tertiary education areas, so you're going to get people high demand for student accommodation. So anyway, so we'll see what happens after tomorrow's rate rise, and see if a lot of the investors in your traditional markets or your traditional areas are renting their apartments in your traditional areas, whether or not they're going to start letting go of the their investment properties, because your traditional method of obtaining a rental income for the property is certainly not meeting the repayment in a lot of cases. This is what we've been hearing over the last few weeks. So let's see what happens. What's your call? What's your view on that, Martin?
Yeah, well, it's a tricky one insofar that Phil Lowe last week, when he was in Senate Estimates, was pretty vociferous again about the real issue, of course, is supply, 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 he said, although he didn't go on to mention things like, well, Airbnb is part of the problem and all of the vacant properties that are not actually occupied are part of the problem. So there are supply levers that can be pulled rather than just build more stuff. But he did also talk about the inflation battle and the need to, move that up. And he's still saying it's going to take a long time for inflation to get beat. So I think there's a significant chance that he's going to move rates higher again, the monetary decision that he's, part of, because he's very clear about this. It's not just me. It's all of the other members of the committee who actually come to a consensus. He's very keen to try and spread the blame. But Gareth Aird at CBA came out with a little note saying he doesn't think they're going to lift, arguing that he's going to wait and see what happens with the next set of data. And, it takes time for all of these rate rises to flow through. We also know, of course, that a good number of people now on the mortgage cliff are actually looking over and thinking, oh, wow, it's going to come through and very quickly now, and that high interest rate's going to hit. So we know that there's more pressure. We also know that the banks have been quite keen to help people through this transition. So I'm getting a lot of information and intelligence from people who've been offered extended terms, different structures to their mortgage, anything to keep those repayments, within bound. So putting all that together, there's an argument both ways, but I suspect we're going to see 25.
Look, that's really pretty much on the cards. I think if there's no hike, I think this market, we're going to get to the domain auction clearance rates of 99% margin.
Yeah. Could well be. Yeah, well,
particularly this coming week, long weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see what the really low numbers present. But look, it's interesting to also note how there's not a lot more new property coming on the market many would have liked it to be. It's definitely a seller's market. But I guess in times like this, I say to people, look, don't stay in the market. If you want to buy, you need to buy, stay in the market. But don't be too, don't get caught up in that, auction slipstream that we spoke about last week. Don't get caught up with all that, all that emotion, because we need to go through this winter phase. Because naturally, there hasn't been any year that I can recall that spring numbers have gone below winter numbers. That's where we get a rise. If not, at least it gives you a little bit more of a choice. On the properties that are being presented in the areas that some of the buyers are looking into. But look, I think if there is a rise, there is a rise. I believe that we will see a rising numbers in the again. But my caveat is on the there'll be a possibly a strong rising numbers in the areas where the traditional form of a rental is more dominant than your budget accommodation rental that we've been seeing practiced by many ethnic groups, or I should say many ethnic groups taking advantage of, and yeah, that because your traditional means of rental income is certainly not covering your mortgages in a lot of the cases that from people that we've spoken to.
I agree. I'm seeing that in my surveys and also in recent conversation I've had with a few different investors. So the gradient in terms of the mortgage repayments and the other outgoings for the investment property is much greater than the ability for them to actually put the rents up. So there's a gap. And of course, the argument has always been, well, I don't mind if I lose money on a cash flow basis because ultimately I'm going to win on a capital appreciation basis. Now, that may or may not be true, but of course, if you look over the last couple of years, there was a significant run up, then there was a fall. Now there's a sort of a stabilization or a slight movement up. But if you do the math, unless you've been holding the property for a long, long time, actually your capital appreciation is insufficient to cover the costs that you've incurred over the last few years if you've held property. So actually, more and more investment properties are underwater in net terms. Now, of course, you can offset it against income tax. And so that's another reason why some people don't look at it, because they say, well, I can still make a loss, but I can offset it against tax. So net net, it's still okay. But just think about that. What people are saying is the only reason they're holding the property is because of the tax break or not, tax advantage or not they have. And what it means essentially is they're making a loss and then they're offsetting a loss against other income. So all of this is a bit of a crazy justification for holding investment property, in my view. And about 20% of property investors have shed a property over the last year or two, according to my surveys. And quite a few of those have multiple properties, so they've tended to shed the docs. In other words, those that needed significant work, those that needed to be upgraded to be able to meet the current regulations, or indeed just those that really were actually in a poor location with poor facilities. So property investors are definitely shedding at the margin. And the question is, when does the margin move up more into the mainstream? And certainly in my surveys, I see quite a few property investors who are suggesting that if in fact rates move again, that's going to be the tipping point, because they just cannot put the rents up fast enough to be able to cover the costs. So it may be that we're going to continue to see a rise in X investment property listings. That isn't necessarily going to attract everybody, but maybe that's a trend we're seeing. I've already seen it over the last few months, and it's going to continue, I think.
Yeah, look, and that's what we've been talking about, obviously for a little while now. It's interesting also, Martin, that yes, people have been waiting for your for yeah, or they'll offset the capital gains to the loss in terms of the rental income in the past. But there's another trend emerging as well, Martin, and that is that the older investors, their incomes are decreasing. They're not increasing, and you've got households that have gone from two income streams to one and a half, or one in a part time. One, I mean, you've got people. You've got corporations like Bunnings, which we spoke about. That they all tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, where they everybody was making a big song and dance about the fact that they're going to a 4-day week, and everybody was going, oh, hooray, everybody else should be doing that. No, dipsticks. No, not everybody should be doing that, because what all that's done, and as I've got insiders in Bunnings, in management areas, as well as on the floor, I speak to a lot of people on the floor in Bunnings, and they've all told me exactly the same thing, which is the assumption that I made as soon as that news came out, and that is that all it's done, it's compressed the five working days into four, but it's got rid of the casuals, because rather than doing 8 hours a day, now you're doing 10 hours a day in order. So therefore, you don't need the casuals anymore to open up early or to stay back late, because the full timers are doing that. So what I'm noticing, Martin, in a lot of areas or some areas of Sydney, is in your older, more established areas where it's not really your typical rental market, but more your owner occupier, where there's an older, still, you know, the older generation still holding on to properties, and they may be holding on to an investment property in the Central Coast or in the, you know, your old part of the town, down south or whatever. Their incomes are shrinking, so therefore they can't afford to maintain those investment properties. So they will be letting them go. And also, the investment properties that they've had for many, you know, for a number of decades, they're older properties that demand now or require a lot of maintenance. So you've got these issues also coming into the picture. So it will be interesting to see what happens within about a month of tomorrow's call, within that the next month, the next few weeks, as to, you know, how those listing numbers stack up in specific areas of Sydney. Overall, we do the overall numbers on the show, but we also look as a business. As buyers agents, we also look at individual parts of Sydney, suburbs, to see how the numbers are tracking to assist our clients. But yeah, look, there's a number of things happening. But look, definitely, I think the ones that are going to be letting go first are those older investment properties that need a lot of work.
Yep, I've already seen it, and we're going to see more of it. And interestingly, the other interesting conversation that I've had with a couple of Airbnbs is that they're actually getting significant returns from going the Airbnb route. So quite a few people actually let their property for long term over COVID and then effectively evicted the tenant once the market settled down, and then switched it back to Airbnb. And even through winter, they're still getting short-term demand, particularly in some of the more attractive areas, coastal areas. So the Airbnb thing, I think, is worth just spending a second on, because, you know, there are several hundred thousand properties that are actually not available for long-term rent because they're in the Airbnb sector. And, you know, investors are able to get significantly higher returns in the Airbnb. The planning regulations and other hoops that need to jump through are pretty low. And so it's maybe not surprising that the Airbnb and equivalent, you know, there are other entities that are doing the same sort of stuff, means the short-term lets are also part of this supply conundrum. And if you then add into that the other issue I mentioned earlier on, which is the long-term vacant properties, there's still property held long-term vacant deliberately. And I think if we're going to have a supply-side conversation, we should be talking about some of these broader issues rather than just building more cheap high-rise to try and solve the problem.
Oh, 100%. And this is where you and I agreed on the point, is that if the government really want to do something, and they need to bring all this into the mix, and not just throw out their topsy-turvy solutions that just rattle people around for a few weeks and creates a lot of noise, but at the end of the day, there's really no substance.
Absolutely right. Now let's just move on and talk about some of the WeChat chats, because there's some interesting trends going on there too.
Look, there is. Look, it's not new news. It's old, but it's interesting how it's now re-emerging at this time. So nothing much is happening over in mainland China. So most of the chatter and the conversation from the WeChat chatterers have been in the local market from the local investment groups, and it's rather interesting, Martin. The question is that a lot of the selling agents of apartments and off-the-plan apartments are asking the people, do you want a great education for your child or not? Yeah, that's more or less how they're starting the pitch to sell to the Chinese community, because what they're doing and what they're pushing for is basically for local Chinese families to buy an apartment, particularly if they own a house or a property as a principal place of residence that is outside a particular school catchment area that is of great attraction to that community or is in high demand. Well, the ads are basically virtually saying that straight up. You know, do you want a great education for your child? Well, you should be buying an apartment. But what do you do with it, right? You're not going to move into it. You've got to really read between the lines and what they're all about and what the WeChat chatterers are telling us and telling Dusty and Evan are basically, look, this is it. This is what you do. And you buy an apartment, and then because of the high rental demand at the moment, you rent it back to students or people of the same ethnicity, and you that need accommodation, and you rent it in cash, so that way the registrar of the occupant of that dwelling that doesn't change. It stays as you, as the owner, and everybody, including the school powers to be. You're telling them that's where you live. They can't prove it otherwise, and therefore you can send your child to the sought after school that you like, albeit you may live 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from that property. And that's how they're selling it. I mean, they're not hiding anything, Martin. This is the thing. Like these websites, these ethnic apps and websites that other groups are using, I mean, they're telling more than what you read on domain and real estate, and because it's geared for that particular community. So that's interesting. What is happening there now? Two interesting stories that I want to share with the group, and that is with our viewers is we'll call one Henry, we'll call the other one Charlie. So Henry bought one, bought a property. And Henry uses the property. He hasn't let it out. He uses the property because Henry's making money elsewhere. He uses the property as a storage unit. So he's got a two-bedroom apartment, so he uses it as a storage unit and as a getaway from whenever he wants to get away from the missus. So, Charlie, on the other hand, he's not as wealthy as Henry, so he actually lets the property out to students that because it's on that belt, on that corridor that the international students want to be on, and he rents it out in cash, and the cash that he makes, because the deposits are a generous deposit, the cash that he gets back pretty much makes the difference in the interest repayments. So this is what's happening. This is how they're selling off the plan. And look, and needless to say, the agents, right? The agents are saying, look, don't worry about the quality of the property. Don't worry about the condition. Don't worry about the fact that it's on a main road. If you want, do you want to be picky, or do you want to give your child a great education? That's what they're coming in your face, telling you that much.
It's amazing, isn't it? Right. So basically, you can get sufficient money coming in by way of unofficial rent or cash rent to be able to cover the cost, and then you can secure an access to a good school and therefore secure the education for your kids. And of course, the education thing, and setting up the next generation, it's a really strong imperative, particularly for some of those migrants into the country. So there's a coherent story here, which I think is really important. But of course, again, it changes the dynamics. So, you know, if you're a standard first-time buyer and you're competing with people who are thinking about it through this model, well, they're going to probably pay more.
Of course. And this is what happens. This is why I say don't get caught up in the slipstream of the auction slipstream, because the bidding slipstream, because you're going to get smashed. Your reasons for wanting to have a roof over your head are nowhere as important as theirs, so, if you want to put it that way. And they've got deep pockets. A lot of them have got deep pockets, and this is creating greater demand. And you could say in a way that you could put a number of these purchases on that ledger of theoretically of vacant property, right? Because they're not being used for anything else other than bloody storage. So it's crazy. But anyway, look, that's the chatter. It's always interesting to see what the chatterers are up to, what they're discussing and talking. And as I mentioned last week, also there are obviously still hot on the hills and preparing to take a dive in more into the regional areas, because I think there's, like I've been saying, there's going to be the tide is going to reverse once people continue to hit their heads against a brick wall in the Sydney region. They're going to decide to, the traditional families are going to decide to also hightail it back to further out north, north south, and east of the west of the CBD, because things are just not affordable, and what you can get in the regions now is great in comparison to a two bedroom apartment even in Parramatta.
Absolutely. Now things are changing quite fast, and I think this is an important trend. And I guess we might just pause for a second and say, you've made some predictions over the recent times. Let's go down some of them, because some of them have turned quite, appropriate. Others maybe less so. But let's just go through them. So one of the things you said was Domain and REI are going to take up more space in the property arena. Well, they are doing that, aren't they?
Look, they are, and I still think, I've still got 6 months to go, right?
This is a sort of a pulse check on the way through, right?
But look, there's more being shared, but when they do it, look, it's inevitable. It's when you've got less numbers on market, obviously less advertising revenue. Commissions are still very attractive to the heads of REA and Domain, given the fact that, let's say, in previous years they were, the commissions across Australia were close to $15 billion, and the advertising revenue across Australia on REA and Domain were was $2.5 billion. So there's a lot of room there to move, right? So the obvious is if everybody looks for property on Domain, and everybody lists a property on Domain or real estate, well, they're saying to themselves, well, why should the selling agents earn so much more than what we do? So it's just a natural progression. Hence the reason why I say the quicker the industry adopts my thought of the remuneration model of fee for service, the better off everybody's going to be, and at least you can get, because Domain and real estate, they still will need the industry to do particular jobs. But if they fully control the listing, well, you're in a lot of, as a real estate agent, well, you're not going to be earning as much as what a lot of people think they would. Look at the purple bricks model and so forth. But anyway, that's
just on purple bricks. You might be aware, you might not be aware. In the UK, purple bricks just got sold for a pound to a competitor.
For a pound,
yeah,
really. Gee, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to my advice back then.
Yeah. So basically, another. Rather similar, although different model, has sort of taken it over. So what they were saying was that there is still huge opportunity to move the economics of property sales you know, the commissions are still way too high. But they also said that the Purple Bricks model actually wasn't executed well. So they're claiming it's an execution problem rather than actually a philosophical problem. So they're still wanting to push the fees down in the real estate sector. And they also make the point, interestingly, that the role of the portals, so we've got Rightmove here as one of the big portals in the UK, the roles of the portal mean that effectively the role of the agent has been shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. So, you know, the question is, so tell me again what the agent is actually now doing.
Well, exactly. And what are they doing? How are they assisting you as a vendor to prepare your home for sale? How are they assisting you on the way through? The really, at the end of the day, in the demanding 2%, 2.2, 2.5, you know, in some parts of Sydney, some are still getting your 3%. If you're not getting your 3% or your 2%, and you chopped your fee down to 1.5, or in the eastern suburbs, you know, where you've got your $10 million properties, 2.5, but you're still, you know, also demanding a 20, 25, 10, 15,000, 20, 25,000 marketing fee on top of that. Mm. So what are you actually doing when then you see these articles on the mainstream media of agents boasting and cheering that the house was sold for a record within a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Demand is so high. Why not keep it for another 1 or 2 weeks and create more demand and get even a better result for the vendor? Wouldn't that make more sense? But when you've got a commission involved, like you and I discussed, Martin, it's really not in the best interest of their client, the vendor, nor is it in the best interest of the buyer. It's in the one that wins always is the agent, because they're acting in their best interest first and foremost. We could talk again in the live forum, we can discuss that topic, Martin.
yeah. Sorry, I didn't manage to get the live up today, and we had a couple of other technical issues here, so that's why I'm making a recording. But interestingly, one of your other predictions was that we would continue to see an exodus of agents from the sector, and certainly I'm seeing some of those. I think you are too, because of course the economics for an agent have really just, well, they've gone all over the place because the volume is way down. And whilst they are still able to move some properties, you know, the economics of the whole agency system is really in question now, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And interesting. Two sectors that I know of that increased in the number of employees was the real estate industry and politicians. Those sectors seem to have done very well from the pandemic till now. And the number of real estate agents has increased since 2020 up until now, which is incredible. But then again, you had JobKeeper, right, to maintain a lot of these offices. But now they're struggling. Now there is no JobKeeper, and let's see how far they go. This is to you and I, this is deja vu 2019, because you and I were talking about towards the end of 2019, last quarter of 2019, a lot of agencies were on their knees because, again, we had the same scenario where there wasn't a lot of transactions going through, and a lot of agencies were on the second, third, fourth credit card to keep the doors open and drawing down from the principal places of residence in order to keep the doors open. And we're seeing a lot of that again now. And I don't believe that, Albo and Co. Real Estate is going to really, throw in a lifeline. He might sell a few franchises here and there, but that's about it. I don't think the government's going to throw in the lifeline this time. Nor do I see that lifeline being thrown at other industries I'm seeing in some areas and some industries, because of the mass population that migration that's come in, the wages of for people that were on contract wages in these particular sectors, they've gone down because now there's a lot more competition in that. You've got IT and you've got the IT and also some of the blue collar areas such as your cleaning services, your commercial cleaning areas. The fees have the fees have gone down, Martin, and they will continue to go down because now you've got people that are willing to do the same job that was demanding a hell of a lot more. And now they're here, they'll take it on at two thirds of what you were getting last year.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly right. And we'll watch that through the year. Now, a couple of other predictions. You talked about listings going down. We've covered that in spades. It's definitely a low now. And the question is what will happen in the spring. But we also mentioned caravan and tent cities will be popping up. And it's interesting that some of that's now trickled into the mainstream media. So there's been a few reports of people living in cars and people living in tents and caravans. It's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is, and we were talking about it. We alluded to it before the election. Remember, in 2019, we alluded to it, and we said, regardless of who comes into power, this is the future. This was the future, and you and I were sharing those videos that I was taking of the derelict makeshift garages into granny flats, and we said, this is the future. We saw it, and sure enough, here we are. So it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs, and we not only did we put this prediction up at the beginning of the year, but also we've been talking about it for since the turn of 2022. But anyway, I still think that Elon Musk is still going to list Twitter. I still because he's beefing it up. He's beefing it up. So I still think he'll put it back on the, he'll publicly list that. Local WeChat chatterers. Well, that's another one that's, I think it's coming to pass, Martin. Local WeChat chatterers will drive the prices back to 2021 figures. I mean, we're seeing that already in some areas. Some of your areas where they predominantly reside in have certainly been dropped because, again, the numbers have dropped so low, and in some suburbs even lower than your figures in 2021. The St. George area, I was talking to an agent down there over the weekend, and he was telling me at the lowest point in 2021, they had 237 homes for sale listed across the St. George area, and this winter they're already sitting below 220 homes listed, and we haven't really hit the middle of winter yet. This is the trend. Some areas are really reversing in numbers in terms of listings on market. The WeChat chatterers in their areas, they're driving it, but also in the investors that are hungry and that have got a huge hunger and an appetite for those homes that they can convert into budget accommodation. Well, those areas are going to be driven hard and beyond the 2021 figures again, because they themselves are fighting for those properties, because they need to put the money somewhere. They don't want to put it in retail or hospitality or in shares. They just want to put it in property, and these are the WeChat chatterers that are buying with no less than 50% deposit or an LVR of 50% because of what they do with the homes and the amount of money that they've got to throw into investment properties. Less property transactions, number seven, Martin, 2022. I think we are seeing that well and truly. That's been the norm over the last 3-4 months.
Yeah, and you mentioned also there is number eight, the cost to renovate and build still going up, right? So it is very interesting that the labor costs are there, but the materials costs, particularly supply of some things, are still disrupted. So the supply chains are still all over the place. And I was talking to somebody the other day who committed to a building contract for a new property with the builder. And that was agreed 18 months ago. Still hasn't finished the property, but he's come back and asked for another increase in the cost because of the cost of labor. and the cost of materials, and they're now looking at probably a 20% increase over what they agreed to pay. I mean, these sorts of numbers are significant. And what it also means is, of course, that people who are thinking potentially of buying a property, if they're going to have to develop it or change it or improve it or get builders to come and do stuff, that's going to actually temper their view as to what the value is relative to a one that's ready to move into.
Yes, it is. It is rather interesting, as you say, Martin, with the with the cost of materials. The supplier that we get a lot of our materials for our different clients. The trades that we work with, and I was talking to them on Friday, and I overheard one of the salespeople there was on the phone organising a delivery. Wait for it. The delivery wasn't to the Western suburbs. The delivery was to WA.
No.
I said, what the hell? you're delivering to WA? He says, well, we've got the material that they want, and they can't get it over there. So yeah, they want to pay. They bought it and they're paying the freight, and it's because they need it. So, that's when you sort of hear that sort of stuff on the ground, it sort of really makes your ears prick up, right? And then you start paying attention to what's really going on. The other interesting thing, Martin, is the labor costs in terms of labor, in terms of certain aspects of the construction industry has gone down. But that's not being passed on by the trades or the builder for whatever reason. Again, and this is all due to this huge migration intake. So we're already starting to note on the ground how laborers and less skilled workers, you can get them for a lot cheaper, but in a lot of cases, the builders or the senior or the head tradespeople aren't passing the savings on. They're still keeping the high prices, which is it's an interesting thing as it's playing out. It's interesting to watch what's going to happen there. We saw the government throw out more incentives for the first home buyers. Number 10, eggs will hit $20 per dozen. I'm still convinced they will. They've sort of sitting around $8 a dozen, but I still think that they'll get closer to 20. Pet shelters, we've also spoken about that. We've seen that the pet shelters have been swamped because of the difficulty in finding accommodation, let alone finding accommodation with that's pet friendly. It's sad. Again, it's a sad state of affairs. Price of second-hand cars will drop by as much as 30% to 40%. I might fail on that one, Martin, because Tarek's used car index is bouncing back. It's not doing what it should be doing. But I'm still hopeful. I've still got 6 months to go.
Well, there's still time. Shoplifting and more broadly, crime rising.
Oh yeah, we've seen that all over. Our legals are having to, funny enough, in the eastern suburbs, they're having to defend, what would we once call, stay at home housewives that are pilfering, pilfering entire shopping carts of food. That's where we are. Underquoting rising Sydney and Melbourne. I think Domain are going to be putting out an article soon about that. How many articles does it take to really bring about reform in this area? I don't know. They've been writing articles and they've been doing. Yeah, the government's been bringing in all sorts of new regulations, legislation, and guidelines. But it just gets worse. Sale by auction numbers will drop by as much as 20%. Well, 25%. Well, we've seen that. The numbers have really dropped down. Property's been taken to market. the prediction about Tom Panos hasn't taken up my challenge yet, so we won't talk too much about that one. China keeps on chattering. The China's chatterers are still, they keep on chattering about, they're still, preparing for mainland to walk into Taiwan, and then it's that's hence we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard a lot more because of the economic disruptions that they're facing. And obviously, when there's an economic downturn and a huge economic downturn and disruption, well, one of the things to distract the population from the issues at home is war, isn't it? And that's a recipe that many nations have used in the past, and I'm sure China won't have not thought about. More pretend auctions, Martin. More pretend auctions when properties are advertised as a sale but not going to auction, only to grant buyers urgency. I think we're seeing a lot more of that. But let me tell you a story. When is an auction not an auction, Martin? Let me tell you a story by asking you a question. When do you think an auction is not an auction?
Well, there are some basic things that should be in place, right? So there should be a contract of sale, right? They should have the authority to sell the property, right? And there's some basic logistics that are also required. But it sounds as though quite often people are skating around the edge, and do they have the power to sell, and do they have the contract? And if not, can it be an auction?
Oh, it's crazy. There was an auction that was promoted at Wiley Park. I won't give the address. I won't give that because it potentially it could go to fair trading, right? So it was being promoted in Wiley Park, and it went through a 3-week auction campaign. I inquired about it 3 days before the actual day of the auction. I was told that it was sold. And the reason why I inquired about it, Martin, is because I was also talking to another agent that also had the listing. And when I asked the other agent, I said, but how do you have the listing for that property when it's up on domain and real estate for auction? And she looks at it and says, no, I've got the contract of sale. And I know the owner, and the owner has given me the listing. I said, well, give me the contract of sale. The contract of sale is 3 years old. So it's not even a current contract of sale. So you've got two agents that the owner's giving, allegedly, the other agent may have a 3-year-old contract of sale again. But nevertheless, the other agent has gone all the way without an agency agreement, without even a signed auction agency agreement, has gone all the way and actually promoted the property on domain and real estate portals for auction. I mean, this is the shenanigans that's going on. And this is how desperate the industry is, Martin. This is really just highlights the desperation in the industry. There's another agent in the Shire that has got a property for sale on the market, again, without a contract for sale. Now, not only that, but there's another agent as well. One is a local agent, and one is an outside agent from this particular area in the Shire. And there's in this case, at least with this auction at Wiley Park, there was a 3-year-old contract. Right? You could get that. You could sort of work a little bit with that. But when there's not even a drawn up contract of sale, you really got to ask yourself the question: where do these people get the licenses to act as real estate agents? Or is it that they just don't care because they're just so desperate to get a listing and to hopefully get somebody to make a verbal offer and entice the owner to give them to formalize everything? But then, I mean, it's so upside down that the mind just boggles, Martin. But it's, for me, sitting back and analyzing these two situations, it just shows me the desperation of selling agents that's out there just to get a listing. because there's, as I've been saying for many years, there's 17,000 selling agents in Sydney, in the Sydney region. There's only on average at the moment 900, 950 transactions per week, and only a handful of those 17,000 agents, or there's in each area there's one or two agencies that dominate the area. The rest really just get thrown the scraps. So a lot of agents and agencies are really, really going hungry. So all these shenanigans just are just amplified by the sheer desperation of the industry. I mean, on the one hand, you sort of think, shit, they're doing whatever it takes to put food on the table, but what do you do? I mean, I mean, the next thing is going to be, we're going to hear more stories about real estate agents and agencies dealing with the sales trust accounts, I guess.
It's probably coming, Edwin, isn't it? Given everything else we know, let's just talk briefly about the numbers because they continue to drop. So in Sydney, last week, 29th, it was 14,667. This week, so that's as of the 5th, 14,390. So Sydney's dropping again. And if we look at Melbourne, it's the same story, right? So last week, 22,014 properties for sale. This one, 21,070 properties. So it's looking pretty dire.
Look, for a buyers, yes. But as I said, look, stay in the market, but don't be too hasty. This is the natural trend of listings, pulling back. We got tomorrow's decision. What happens after that? We got spring coming up, so. Unless you're really going to get what you want and the price point, there's no point in begging and borrowing more just for the sake of getting all emotional about a particular property when there's a lot of being taken off market for one reason or another. So I'd say just not so much sit it out, but just wait it out, because and stay vigilant, because you don't know what comes on market, you don't know who's got what. But look, again, Martin, this is the fascinating thing that we're finding is that there's a lot of more property also being transacted in on other apps and other portals like the WeChat Chatter is used. There's two that the main ones that they're using, and we ourselves have bought a few properties for our clients now through those portals. So they are generally not on Domain Real Estate and not held by your traditional real estate agencies as well. We're still doing the transactions through real estate agents that speak Cantonese and speak Mandarin, which is I guess it's a benefit to our clients and to us as well. There's also other ethnic groups as well, as we've mentioned, the Italian communities and the South American and so forth, and the older generation are very, very private, and that is all another shift that we're seeing more and more of, is the older generation don't aren't so open to having, they don't want 20, 30 groups of people coming through the home. It's really what they want is they want by appointment and genuine people that genuinely want to buy, rather than the sticky beakers from from the neighborhood that just want to trample through the home and having a sticky beak to see how you live.
Absolutely right. Well, that trend I think will continue. And so the actual number of real properties available may be higher than the main portals are reporting. Auctions, of course, still, well, a bit down, although the clearance rates are a little bit up, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And to me, there's really that. It's the numbers and the demand are always going to give you the high clearance rates on Domain. I'm paying a lot closer attention to your rental, to the rental numbers, Martin, because there is a glimmer of hope a bit of sunshine coming through those clouds here in Sydney, where you've got 300 more 400 more properties on the market for rent than what we had last week. So that is, it's moving in the right, those numbers are moving in the right direction.
Yes, and interestingly, it does appear as though it's on the house end rather than on the apartment end where the growth is.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct, which is good.
Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we're nearly at the end of the show, but of course, we've still got your tip of the week. And well, this is another one that's really, really important.
Yeah, look, I because of what we saw on the weekend and what I posted out on the first stories of putting the four images up of what happened on the weekend, I think it's very important for people not to overlook building issues. Well, but within the building, within the apartment that they're going to buy. So many times, people think that the owners' corporation or the strata manager that are going to be dealing with all the issues of the apartment complex. That's true to the point of the common areas. However, the internal parts of in between the walls of the apartment. Well, you have to look after that. In some cases, some areas, owners' corporations will take care of waterproofing issues in shower areas, but that's just in the shower recess areas. That's not that does not it's got nothing to do with renovating bathrooms or the like. But not every owners' corporation is the same. So if you got water, I see a lot of water issues in apartments and in shower recess areas, as well as homes. And a lot of people don't pay attention to that much, and that they don't realize how costly it is. It's actually, in many cases, more costly to renovate a bathroom in an apartment than it is to renovate a bigger bathroom in a house for various reasons. Access, it's more labor intensive. You've got to get strata and owners corporation permission, because you're obviously going to be impacting adjoining dwellings. You've got to, if the apartment block has lift, you've got to book the lifts. You've got to then your tradespeople, there's issues with tradespeople that can't get parking close by or in the complex, and therefore they have to cart their tools or walk a lot further. It's so, let's say on average you could do an average house bathroom, you could renovate these are just averages, right? No, nothing too fancy. You could renovate a bathroom for $25,000 in a house. But in an apartment, a smaller bathroom could cost you, you could hit the $35,000 quite comfortable. But a lot of people don't realize these things, and as I said, they just walk through, waltz through, and they don't get the building reports. And whether it be a house or whether it be an apartment, it's very, very important to make sure you do your water meter testing checks, moisture checks in your shower recess areas, because obviously that's where the waterproofing fails. That's where you're in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. And I will also add that things like plumbing and heating actually can also be more expensive if you want to upgrade them in an apartment relative to a house too. So there are often higher costs involved, despite the fact that you don't necessarily own the outer skin in the same way as a house, but that actually puts more weight on improving other elements. So it's important to actually understand that and incorporate that into your maths, isn't it, when you come to what is a property worth?
100%, 100%. And just pay a little bit of attention to that, and if you see You see a lot of white residue on the in the shower rhesus area at the bottom, or inside the shower cubicle, or and outside of the shower cubicle. You know that the waterproofing's pretty much failed.
Yep,
So there's a tip
absolutely.
for you.
Absolutely. Well, Edwin, thanks once again. Always good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again. I am expecting my furniture to arrive sometime over the next 1 to 2 weeks. So there might be a little bit of a hiatus, but anyway, we will be back with another show when we can. And we will get around to doing a live one when I can get my system sorted out, but I'm still running on the smell of an oily rag here. So I really need my studio to arrive before I can get things working properly. But we'll do that in due course.
All good, Martin. And stay safe, and I'll catch up soon.
See ya. Take care. Have a good week. See ya. Bye.